This is Abbotsford Canucks Hockey on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Little chip pass to Devine in the Abbotsford zone. Devine leaves it for Leonard. 12 seconds left. Battle for in the circle. Devine hangs on to it. Throws it to the slot. Puck loose. Carlson finds it. He dumps it down. It's going to the empty net. It's going to miss. And let's get out of here. The Canucks win game four. Checkers back-to-back on home ice as they pour off the bench to congratulate Archer Shelos, who picks up his 15th win of the Calder Cup playoffs.
The Abbotsford Canucks, one win away from claiming the Calder Cup trophy, taking the chalice home to Abbotsford. 3-2 series lead, 3-1 series lead for the Abbotsford Canucks. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah with Dan Riccio. We're going to welcome in Brandon Astle and Landon Ferraro calling the game on Sportsnet 650. A thrilling 3-2 victory here at the Abbotsford Center. And
nail-biter at the end, Sat.
It did, man. I mean, the final 25 seconds, especially that final foray up the ice, and they had a little bit of zone time and a couple block shots and some desperation, but the Canucks get it out and get it deep, and the clock does expire. But the Abbotsford Canucks reach a win away from claiming the Calder Trophy. And as always, get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. And we see on the text inbox, fans are excited, and Basketball Phil says, we want the cup, Sat. We want the cup. And that is what the fans were chanting throughout the evening, especially in the third here tonight, Reach.
It was an incredible crowd yet again, and you can really feel how the team built off the crowd atmosphere and just the insane cheers. I mean, every time, like after each goal, you really felt Abbotsford create a couple of extra waves and maybe find another goal. And that's where, you know, Charlotte hit Kapokakinen and kept them in it a couple times. But even after Lekromäki scored the third goal to go up 3-0, it really felt like Abbotsford was going to get a fourth there, and somehow Charlotte was able to stave off that storm, but it wasn't enough. And Abbotsford, this crowd is just fueling this team now, 10-2 on home ice here through this Calder Cup playoff run.
Another raucous crowd, sold out, standing room only, spots also being sold, and an absolute incredible atmosphere yet again.
They cheer a good forecheck as hard as they cheer a goal. This crowd is insane.
The real hockey fans. I mean, this is what it's like in a Canadian market, though.
Yeah.
You get a Canadian market that is starved for some good hockey and to watch a local team go deep in the postseason. And, you know, they're very much in tune to how the game should be played. And it's an incredible atmosphere here at the Abbotsford Center. And maybe the biggest story individually from the game is Jonathan Lekromäki, the game's first star, got two goals in the game here tonight, Reach. And, you know, Lekromäki has obviously been a big talking point because he is one of the Canucks' top prospects. And overall, before the playoffs began in the AHL, you would say he had a really good rookie campaign as a pro in North America. Played some NHL games, showed a little bit of flash, was productive at the AHL level throughout the year, too. And then the postseason comes around.
Yeah.
You know, hits a bit of a wall, physically has a couple issues, had the dental work done, too. But it just seemed like everything kind of hit a critical mass for him not to be able to impact the game the way we know he can. And you made a great point. Having a couple weeks off, perhaps recharging, getting his head straight, perhaps, you know, not playing the first couple games of this Calder Cup final in Charlotte. And, you know, maybe for good reason. Danila Klimovic scored an overtime winner, so he got in ahead of him. Now, Klimovic played in Abbotsford, too, the last couple games. But seeing Jonathan Lekromäki score two goals is great. But what impressed me even more, Reach, was he was good defensively. Mm. He was making good plays through the neutral zone, and he was checking hard, finishing his checks, getting to the dirty areas. And that's how you're going to have success if you want to play in the NHL long term.
Yeah, he played a well all-around game, and it's those little things that he did that put him in position to score those two goals. So much was good about Lekromäki's game tonight, but ultimately the reason he is a top prospect, the reason there is hype around him, the reason he was a 15th overall draft choice is because he can finish. And when he gets those chances, you would bet on him to finish. And he had even more chances beyond the two goals. He had a couple of power play opportunities. He was really buzzing for the Canucks offensively. And, you know, the third goal, it ends up being the winner. It ends up being Lekkomäki's second of the night. And it's not an easy play to make. You know, he gets the lead pass like kind of at the top of the circles as he's going full speed. He's got a Charlotte checker on his back checking him, and he still finds a way, keeps his composure enough to finish in tight on Kaapo Kähkönen at the five hole. I mean, it just shows just the incredible finishing talent that he possesses that makes him such a top prospect in this league.
Yeah, and, you know, this is what you want to see him do. You know, you are going to have some ups and downs. And to be honest, I haven't been too concerned by some of his struggles in the playoffs. And we had a good chat with Chris Peters as well during Canucks Central before the show today here in Abbotsford. And he, you know, kind of talked about, when it comes to a guy like Lekkomäki, he was one of the younger guys in his draft year, went through a really tough draft plus one season as well, and he had his challenges, of course, right? But ever since then, he's really taken a step forward. And because of his physical frailty, I would say, like, he's not the biggest guy, and he can't get a little bit faster and can't get a little bit stronger, I'm not too concerned about him hitting a physical wall at a season like this. My concern would be if he can't elevate his game next year and beyond, but it's really positive to see him go through those struggles and then have this type of moment. To be a first 100%. Star and help you win a game in the Calder Cup final, it's got to be huge for the kid's confidence.
Yeah, and, you know, we get some texts coming in talking about that as well at 650-650, getting over his, you know, struggles this postseason. You know, we've talked about it on the show on Canucks Central. If you look at his games played, right, he maxed out, I think, around 40, maybe 50 games in the SHL. Before, you know, getting back into the last game in Game 3, he'd already played 70-plus games between AHL and NHL this year and AHL playoffs. That's a lot, and it's also longer, right? We're in June. He's played for 10 months now where he's had to play games. So this is a new territory, unprecedented territory for him, and the physicality that it takes to do that. Like, yeah, there's going to be a challenge to his offseason that, you know, I guess it's a thing you're kind of okay with because of the situation that's caused it,
the experience
being in the Calder Cup final, but he is going to have a very short offseason. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get a lot of time to recover, and he needs to put muscle on. Is there going to be enough time for him to be able to do that and grow a little bit? That's going to be a question mark for the offseason, but who cares about that right now? He's having success and helping this team to potentially win a trophy with a big, big performance here in the final.
And really, tonight, no passengers. And that's been the story of this Abbotsford Canucks team throughout this year, especially in the postseason, and especially here, these two games in Abbotsford. I can't think of a single player reach that I would look at and say, didn't like this guy's game. You know, like every single player brought it. And it's one of these games where it's difficult to, you know, nail down just a few good players. And we know the guys that had the points, right? Lekkomäki, first star, had two goals. Baines, I mean, one of the goals of the postseason, highlight reel goal for
Man,
the Abbey
what
Canucks.
What an ovation they gave him to. Like the Surrey kid, 6 goals in 6 games, just undresses Matt Kierstead for the goal, too. It was unbelievable to see that.
It really was. And we know that he can almost defer too much. Like, he's more of a playmaker than he is a guy that looks for a shot. And he was looking for a shot tonight. You saw when he's aggressive, the type of difference that he can make. And he's red hot at the most critical time for this Abbotsford Canucks team. And obviously, Ty Mueller, I thought, had a really solid game, assisted on a couple of the
classic
goals.
Stat, loving Ty Mueller.
Hey, man, listen. And
else is new?
And, I mean, Carlson, I thought, has strong game, right? Well, landing on the first Lekkomäki goal, makes an incredible pass out of his own zone to find Ty Mueller. And Mueller makes a good play to Lekkomäki for the goal, but I can just name player after player, and these are just
a team game. Even Jet Wu, like,
right? And these are just guys that got points. And then we talk about a guy like Kudryavtsev, who I thought was the team's best defenseman with a bullet tonight. Absolute rock in his own end. And we talk about the puck movement and you know the stuff that he can do, but his defending is so mature, Reach, and his ability to angle off bigger, faster, more powerful forwards at this level is really impressive for a guy who's not very big. And that just shows you, when you play your angles, you understand the game, you're really good at playing the body the correct way, you understand leverage, it can make a big difference, and your size doesn't get in your way.
He is 5'11", and it at times looks and feels like a bit of a generous 5'11" on the stat sheet, but he's also pretty strong. Like, he is pretty thick, and he doesn't get knocked off the puck easily. So even for a young player, he's pretty strong.
Yeah.
And certainly strong on his skates, so he's not going to get bullied anywhere around the ice, which I do like about that. I like that about him. One of the things that's really impressed me the most, Charlotte loves to forecheck. They get in hard. They get in aggressively. The way he evades the forecheck and makes just a simple play to get the get the Abbotsford moving north is so impressive.
And he's able to take a hit and do it too.
Yeah.
He's not afraid of eating a little bit of jersey or a bit of a stick to be able to make a play.
He's good at getting a little bit of a juke just to give himself enough space to get the pass off and taking the hit at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to have courage, right? And he certainly does have the courage for a player who's not the biggest but a very sturdy, very impressive. And what else do we say about Artur Shilov's reach? And we were kind of joking about before the game.
Some of those scrums at the end of the game, he was like, man, how are you making these saves?
I don't even know how the puck didn't go in. I need to see some replays on when how the puck pinballed before staying out of the net. And I mean, there were a few of those scrums, especially late in the third and even in the second. There was a couple of moments where you kind of thought, okay, is Charlotte going to get on the board here? And they did late, but obviously not quite enough. But Artur Shilov's and the way he gets the crowd going, and we were kind of joking, like, who's going to get more chance tonight, Sammy Blais or Artur Shilov's? It wasn't really close, and I don't think Blais was bad or anything like that. But
there were no Sammy chance though tonight.
No. I mean, he wasn't quite blowing guys up as much. He was good. Like, there was nothing wrong with Sammy Blais.
Massive hit in the
he
first
did.
Period.
There was nothing wrong with Sammy Blais' play, but the level of passion that Artur Shilov brings out of the crowd is really palpable, and you can't help but think that it certainly gives the guys on the ice a bit of a boost.
He's been an absolute rock for this team. You know, he was very close to a shutout tonight. There's a couple of goals for Charlotte towards the end, and the Canucks got, you could tell maybe the moment was getting to them as the third period went on, right?
Yeah.
Like, Charlotte was really pressing for an equalizer, pressing it late in the game. Canucks felt it, got on their heels a little bit, and Artie was there to make all the stops. He's unbelievable in tight, his legs, he's so athletic, just covering the lower parts of the net as Charlotte was getting second and third chances at moments. But the other part of this that is really impressive from a team perspective, when there is these scrums in front of the net, they do a great job of boxing out. They've done an incredible job of boxing out or finding a way to clear away the second chance. Of course, there's going to be a couple over the course of a game, but they've been really good at boxing out, and I love just the amount of no BS they take in front of Shilov's net.
Yeah.
You know, like, any second anybody has an idea of getting into the blue paint, it is not happening. They are going to make your life miserable if you're trying to live in the blue paint around Artur Shilov's. And I love that from a team identity standpoint from this Abbotsford squad.
Well, and that's the, you know, a lot of the credit for how the team has played has come to the coaching staff as well, Manny Malhotra, and how he gets these guys fired up. But the level of intensity that the Abbey Canucks have played with these last couple of games has been incredible. And now you're one win away. And it's a lot different putting a team away, but one thing this club has done throughout this postseason is find ways to win these clinching games, getting this far. And listen, at the end of the day, winning a Calder Cup doesn't matter if you do it on home or if you do it on the road. But I know a lot of Canucks fans who have traveled, and we met a lot here throughout the day, right? We've been here since, 3 o'clock this afternoon, and we were outside the building doing the show before the game, and we're able to chat with a lot of fans. You got fans driving in from Kelowna, coming in from Sunshine Coast, coming from Northern BC. I mean, Canucks fans are fired up and would like nothing better to see the fans who traveled and the fans who've spent so much time and given so much of their energy and passion over the decades of being Canucks fans to be able to see this team bring a cup home on home soil. It will be an incredible, incredible moment. I can't wait to see if that can happen on Saturday.
So much coming in on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox as people are getting fired up. Abbotsford just one win away from Calder Cup glory. Raymond texting in, pretty insane they're doing this without Ratu. Yeah, it's, they've had an injury to one of their top guys and have still been able to have a lot of success. I think that's where, an addition like Jujhar Khera has really played a big factor because, Ratu's not in the lineup, but You know, you've got a guy who's played NHL games, a wily vet. I think he's not going to be a guy that scores a ton of points for them, but he's been a really, really good addition for the Abbotsford team at an AHL level.
He really has. And one thing about Jujhar, when you talk to people that have been covering the team here and people around the team, the leadership that he's brought.
Yeah.
And I know he's been big for our Steeps especially, but just overall, he's a guy who knows the market really well, has a lot of passion for the market, but has been an incredible team guy. And you know how we talk about having the glue guys, so to speak, and the guys that bring the culture and whatever. And sometimes those things can be overrated. But when you go on a run like this, you kind of need to have guys like that. I mean, for you to go on a deep run, whether it's in the NHL or the AHL, you need to have a complete team. And the characters in your team play a big part. And I think Jujhar's contributions, beyond everything he's done on the ice, have really been immeasurable in many ways. And I'm glad you brought his name up, because he gets a lot of credit for his leadership and just how good a teammate he's been for these guys.
Steph in Dub is saying, "Hi, fellas. Maybe the club doesn't need to find a couple of overpriced free agents. They should be inserting members of this hardworking Abbotsford squad. Their energy is intoxicating and gets me excited about our future." You know, you've got a lot of options. Training camp in September is going to be very, very, very competitive. You think about Linus Karlsson, what he showed at the end of the season, what he's done through this playoff run. Arshdeep Bains, he's going to require waivers next year as well. He is an RFA, but, you know, that's an interesting player thinking ahead to next year. All of these guys have a shot to make the team out of training camp next year. They've shown so well in these playoffs, and you know, I think this run here is only going to make them hungrier to take the next step in their career and become more NHL regulars as they move forward from this. So these are all good things, good problems for the Canucks to have, but it's going to be a pretty heavy battle for those final roster spots in the big club next year.
And honestly, I don't want to get into the, let's not overrate, because this is just a great moment, enjoy the moment, but I would caution, don't get too ahead of yourself about what you're seeing here and projecting instant success next year. Like for instance, Lekkerimäki, I love what I saw tonight.
Yeah.
But I said this even a few months ago before the end of the season. You may not see the best of him for another year or two, and that's okay. Some guys are just on a bit of a longer trajectory. And you look at guys that have the physical, need the physical dimensions to get better, and some of these guys need more experience. They might have incredible careers. It might not happen as quickly as people want. So have a little bit of patience, but the way these guys have played and what they've shown, there's no reason why you shouldn't be excited. And for the first time in many, many years, Reach, we can sit here and talk about the Canucks having a bunch of young players that can be real contributors for this team, whether it's next year or beyond. But there's going to be a lot of Canucks that played for this team here this year, last year, next year, who are going to be Vancouver Canucks. And how often have we been able to say that about prospects in the AHL club, to say for sure you're going to see four or five of these guys play for the big club in the future?
Yeah, there's a time we were looking at how many players this team graduated from the AHL, and it was very short list of players that did graduate. That's not going to be the case with some of these guys.
No, keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free, 1-888-275-0650. We'll take more of your phone calls and texts during the second segment of the show, but now it's time to get to the post-game roundtable with our play-by-play team for tonight's game, Brandon Astle and Landon Ferraro, calling a thrilling 3-2 victory. I mean, it was 3-0 in the final minute, really put us on edge with our Charlotte getting a bit closer to it, but Artur Shilov stood tall, and the Abbotsford Canucks gentlemen are one win away from claiming the Calder Trophy.
It doesn't really seem real what you just said, Sat. I know I'm trying to let it sink in
since
we signed off, but you just think of like the trials and tribulations. This is such a hard league to win in. It's about developing. That comes first. Obviously, you want to win. That helps development. And, yeah, Landon getting his name chanted for some reason. But
I mean, that's the
again,
second loudest.
He's wearing the ring.
Landon just got the second loudest chant in this building behind Artur Shilov tonight.
You guys have no idea how much I love that at this moment.
Yeah.
Didn't really get that as a player, but apparently the broadcaster.
But you brought
that's the way.
You know what it is? The power of the ring.
There you go.
That is it.
Yeah. Landon won his in six, right?
I did win it in six in Grand Rapids. We were just talking about in our post game over there. It's crazy how, even just in a normal series, not the finals, how hard it is to get that clinching game and finish it out. But you add, the cup is sitting on the other side of it. We went up 3-0 on Syracuse, Tampa Bay's farm team. and we punted away two games. Like, it's so hard, especially, you know, it's the American League. A lot of the guys are young. We were all young. You start thinking about, okay, when we win, how cool is this going to be? What's, you know, my family's coming in, all of this. And, like, yeah, it's the most important thing is how quick you can push this game out of your mind and just dial back in. It's the toughest thing to do.
Yeah, and they were so good tonight. You know, I expected to see a desperate Charlotte team, but, like, every step of the way, as a group, they matched that desperation and even exceeded whatever Charlotte was going to do. Maybe it took until the end of the game for Charlotte to really find that extra gear and put the Canucks on their heels a little bit. But I just thought from minute one, for the most part, they were ahead in every battle, and they were just – even though they're the team ahead in the series, they played still like the more desperate team.
From the minute and 15-second mark, Dan, when Lekker Mäki scored, like, yeah, could you have drawn up a better start, especially for someone like him to get on the board and coming off a pretty strong game three, didn't get any points in that win, and to get the first shot of the net, first shot of the game to hit the back of the net coming off his stick, that had to feel good. Canucks fans are going nuts, but yeah, you're right, Dan. They played just kind of like they did the other night. They didn't score six goals. They didn't need to. I know the score says 3-2, and the Checkers outshot them 32-23, but I don't think it was that close at the end of the day. The Canucks were just a step ahead against this Checkers team, who I'm sure are looking for answers now, because Landon will probably agree their best two players were the young kids that they signed out of college, Powell and Devine, who didn't play since May 9th.
Yeah.
So did they wait too long to put those two kids in? I'd be shocked if they're not playing on Saturday.
I'm still waiting to see where Jesse Puljujärvi is in this series. But
he got to the net front a couple times.
Yeah. You know what's funny? In game one,
took a big hit from Jet Wu. I saw
that. In game one, he got shot out of a cannon in the opening minutes. I'm like, boy, we're going to get to know Jesse Puljujärvi. Remember that, Landon? He drove wide and took it to the net and got stopped, but he hasn't had a chance like that since.
He had an assist on the very first goal for Charlotte in this series and hasn't touched the score sheet since. And
tough.
It's crazy how quick everything can turn. And the way that Abbotsford plays, like Brandon brought this up multiple times through the series and tonight, but you know, you always hear coaches and players talking after a playoff, even a win, but you know, a loss of when they had a lead. And they were sitting back, like, don't sit back, don't sit back. You have to keep attacking, because the more you sit back, you're just inviting play into your own end. And it's so hard to play, you know, multiple minutes of pressure in your own end. You're eventually going to give something up. But this Abbotsford team, like, they'll get up one, well, they want the second one. Yeah. They get up two, they want the third one. And they're not taking unnecessary risk. It's playing within their system, using their speed, using their battle, their intensity to really keep fighting and pushing the game and taking it to the other team. And like, it's just such a fun way for us guys watching it. Like, that's what you want to see from your team. Never stopping, never sitting back, just continually moving forward.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, and I'm not saying they're the same, and it's kind of ironic because the Charlotte Checkers are the Florida Panthers farm team, but this Abby Canucks team, these couple of games it's kind of playing Florida Panthers hockey almost. Like, to your point about waiting for your chances, you're not pushing. It's like, make their safe play. Don't worry about the game state. We are going to get our chance. If we make the right plays, we play to our details. Maybe not this shift, but the next shift it'll come. Like, don't force it. Get the puck deep. Get off. Just play the game. Eventually your chance will come. And that's exactly how they played tonight.
And the most impressive part about it, like we were talking before the game with you guys, of saying, like, what was the biggest difference from the two games down there to the first two up here? And the biggest difference was they're able to get out of their D zone, and the D were such a big part of it. You know, not just throwing it around the boards and trying to let the wingers sort it out from there. Well, a minute four into this game today, Willannon sitting in the left corner in his own end, gets his feet moving, takes two steps, and as soon as he does, the lane to Mueller opens across ice of just above the red line, and he puts that on an absolute dime.
Yeah.
Like, Mueller doesn't have to take a little bit off his stride. He hits it in full stride, and before you know it, they're on a two-on-one. The next goal comes up. It's another high flip. That was the third goal. It was the second. It was Baines' goal.
Yeah.
It's another high flip out of the D zone. Like, everything's coming from the back end now. And as soon as that's happened, like, it's completely changed and let Abbotsford really use what they can do, and that's their speed and making plays at speed, entering the offensive zone.
And that's something we didn't see, Lando, in the first two games in Charlotte. It was pretty bogged down. Obviously, the ice conditions, I hate using that as an excuse, but it wasn't very good, and probably something that the Checkers are used to playing on. As we got into the springtime, they're a very tough team to beat in that building, but the Canucks have really shown their skill over these last two games. Like, Willannon's pass isn't making it to Mueller on that goal. It's just been night and day, the difference, to see guys make plays of time and space. And they made adjustments after game two. I'm not quite sure what exactly Coach Malhotra and his staff saw, but they are starting to utilize some more ice out there and capitalizing on some mistakes positionally that the Checkers are making. And sometimes, boys, it just comes down to 50-50s. And right now the Canucks seem to be coming out of the pile, whether it's in front of their net or in the corners, which is starting easy breakouts the other way. Next thing you know, we see a Checker defender trying to pinch down a wall, and it doesn't work, and then it's an odd man rush. And the Canucks just got to keep it going here till Saturday.
When we were sitting out front doing the show ahead of the game, and people were starting to line up, in one of the breaks, one of the younger Canucks fans sat, asked him, who's your favorite player? And he says, Jonathan Lekkerimäki. And Lekkerimäki gets into the game tonight, gets into the game three after being off for, 2 weeks? And he scores two tonight, gets even more chances beyond that, a couple on the 4-on-3 power play earlier in the game. But he doesn't need much to take his chance. And two, I think, the 2 weeks off, or as much as it was discussed, should this guy be a healthy scratch, all that, I think given this is the longest he's ever played in a season, you look at it now, maybe this actually helped him having a little bit of time off coming into this series.
And I think not even just on, getting the rest and, kind of getting a bit of energy back, it also let the frustration dissipate a little bit. He didn't have where he's sitting there and he's trying to make plays, trying to be a factor. He knows what his skill level is and how he can help, but it just wasn't going his way. Well, they take him out for 5 games. He gets through the scratches, skates. He can see the puck going in the net. Start kind of building some confidence that way while getting some energy.
And instead of being scared, maybe missing the game a little bit and being excited to be back out there?
100%. And I think... And I don't mean this in a bad way, but I honestly do mean it in a good way. Like, having a little bit of embarrassment. Like, for any young player, he's never been a healthy scratch. He's never been a guy that's trying to fight to get in the lineup. He's someone that's part of every first power play, getting as much minutes as he can. Well, you take him out, and you know that he's sitting there, and his buddies back home in Sweden are paying attention. Why aren't you in? Why aren't you in? And he's having to answer those questions, and that fire starts kind of building up back up inside him. And then just like there's a big pop in the third period of game three, well, the pop when he put that thing in a minute 15 into the game was unbelievable. The headsets take out a good amount of the sound. That wasn't blocking anything.
No, you can hear that big pop for sure. And I wonder if, when he's watching the game from the press box, you see things a little differently. You can see plays develop, maybe areas where he could exploit the Charlotte Checkers. And when he got thrown into game three, I really liked his puck touches. He had every right to be nervous. He didn't show any nerves whatsoever. And at the end of the day, he's a real quiet, down-to-earth kid. You wouldn't know it if he had a hat trick the night before or he didn't play. And he's obviously someone that really works hard at his craft and doesn't need a lot of time and space to be a factor. And to see him do what he did tonight, that's got to feel good for him. I'm sure his family and friends are fired up back home. He can kind of take a bit of a breath, and he has shown this year he could be a very streaky scorer, and there wouldn't be a better time to keep it going than Saturday night in a closeout game with the Calder Cup in the building, boys.
And just another kind of way to look at it, too. I remember playing in Chicago in the minors, Magnus Pajärvi, if you remember that. He was a first-rounder of the Edmonton Oilers, and had some really good years,
Magnus Pajärvi Svensson, right?
Yeah, but he was the only one that shortened it back up. They didn't have to make it go elbow to elbow.
Yeah.
But I remember he got, he's stuck in the minors for a bit again, and the year we were playing, and he ends up going up to St. Louis, and he goes on a great run. And I remember asking him, what was the difference this time? And he said, I just finally said, it's just hockey. I just need to play. I don't need to overthink what I'm doing. I don't need to try harder or do all these things. I was good enough before. I'm good enough now. I just need to let my skill take over. That's what it looked like with Lekkerimäki tonight. He just played. And you could see how free and happy he was doing that and putting in two.
Yeah, I mean, unreal, right? And, I mean, you know, we talked about Arshdeep, of course, and what he's done, Artur Shelobs. But what about Kirill Kudryavtsev? I thought tonight in a game where the Czechers were aggressive, he killed so many plays defensively. I mean, in the point Reach makes, he's so good at being able to take a hit to make a play and also be able to, you know, just juke a guy, get the puck out. But the thing that I'm so impressed by is, against bigger forwards, veteran forwards, he angles guys off like he's a savvy veteran who's been in the league a long time. To me, he was, you know, we can say Lekmak is their first star, but I'm hard-pressed to find a player who was more impactful shift-to-shift than Kirill Kudryavtsev tonight.
And again, it comes down to puck battles. He's not the biggest guy out there, Sad. He's only 5'11", but he is 200 pounds. He's got a real low center of gravity, and which able to help with leverage against the boards and in front of the net. And, like, he's not going to back down. He is someone that has that dog-on-a-bone mentality, which I think will get him to the NHL one day, wherever they want to slot him in. And the fact that he's playing his offside, too, just as the icing on the cake. And, like, when the pucks are rimmed around the boards in the offensive zone, it should explode off his backhand and come out to center. But he has just this ability to hold pucks in and keep plays alive. And he's obviously got a great offensive skill set. He's got the most points on the back end for the Abbey Canucks in these playoffs. He leads the postseason in plus-minus. I know that's a bit of a flawed stat, but at the end of the day, he led the team in plus-minus in the regular season.
And he plays tough minutes. It's not like he's getting sheltered minutes.
He's got tough matchups. He's on the PK. He's on the power play. He's playing in all situations. He's just 21 years old. To see him coming over from the Sioux Greyhounds, fresh out of the OHL, to what he's doing now, I mean, seventh-round pick, that has just found money. And it starts and ends with his effort. He is not going to be outworked at any point in the game. He is going to go there and put his body on the line. He just blocks a ton of shots, and someone that I have a real high ceiling for.
And two plays come to mind. As soon as you were talking, Sad, about the poise and being able to make plays, there's the one down at this end behind the net. Yeah. He's sitting on his backhand. He sees the forechecker coming, and he's able to feed that through, and it goes tape to tape, and all of a sudden they're out of the zone. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks like such an easy play. It's just a pass.
Yeah.
But when you're sitting there, you're behind the net, you know if this doesn't work, it's ending up right in front, and they're getting a really good chance.
You might be eating glass, too, right?
100%, right? So he makes that beautiful play, but then you talk about angling, and he's so good with his stick. Well, he actually ends up missing the poke check. Down at the other end, Skoog picks up the puck with a ton of speed, and he's a big body, too. Comes out, and he's flying out wide with him. But Kudryavtsev understands angles so well that he just keeps angling, and before you know it, Skoog's trying to make a net drive from basically the goal line, and then he puts him into the end boards. Like, he finishes and closes out that play beautifully. But that's two different plays doing two separate things, and yet he can make it work. I've been so impressed with him, especially, you know, at preseason with the Canucks this year. It's the first time I ever got to see him play, and I'm like, oh, like, this, you look and you're like, yo, he's a seventh rounder. He's not the biggest guy. It doesn't look like he's the best skater, yet he covers the ice extremely well. Again, it's understanding angles and being really good with your stick. You don't always have to be the most physical, but he doesn't shy away from it either.
I don't want to say things were easy for the Charlotte Checkers. I didn't watch a lot of their games in the run-up to this final here, but they won 8 in a row before coming into this series, and now they're getting punched in the mouth over and over again, literally.
I was about to say literally.
Yeah, and figuratively. Like, Sammy Blais is putting everybody through a wall. Tristan Nielsen's throwing big hits. It is, like, the physicality of this Abbotsford team, it feels very unpleasant to be a Charlotte Checker in this building the last two games.
And, Dan, what are the players thinking, like, before the game? The coach makes four lineup changes, three of them NCAA signings. So, like, are they looking on the room, Landon, like, who's coming out next? Because they're even changing the lineup after winning. To their credit, they have a lot of depth. But those two youngsters, Powell and Devine, like I mentioned, their last game was May 9th. Yeah. And they were their best two players tonight. So I'm just kind of curious what their psyche is like right now. Obviously, they're a team that has a lot of depth and probably isn't going to go down without a fight. I know Abbotsford would love to not travel back to Charlotte. The Checkers are going there anyway. They'd love to drag Abbotsford with them. So I'm just kind of curious what their off day is going to be like tomorrow. And Abbotsford on the other side, it's going to be a tough sleep. Like, tonight, tomorrow, at the end of the day, not a lot of players have been in this situation with the Calder Cup in the building. Sammy Blais been in this situation in the NHL, but everybody else is going to have this new feeling, and it's going to be a battle between the years, I think, to try to just stow that away and just try to treat it like another hockey game. You're going to hear that a lot. It's just another game. It's just another game. But it's not. This is for all the marbles.
Well, and you say, like, they insert four guys. Two of them NCAA players that, I mean, one in Devine led the NCAA in scoring this year. Powell, the other one, the defenseman, is instantly on the power play. He's such a smooth skating player. Like, I was really impressed with him tonight. But they're clearly trying to find anything to make this work right now. You know, just to put it in perspective, you know, two of the top three scorers on their team this year, Carrick and Asplund, are sitting there with 1 point each. Mm-hmm. You know who else has a point in this series? Archer Shelos.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're waiting for their big guys to step up right now. As if some one of the fans Artie gave Brandon one of the Artie Party hats.
Yeah, it looks great.
Very good.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. And
beautiful.
I got a bracelet. They gave me, I got my own Canuck bracelet.
Yeah, friendship bracelet.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, the way he's a star, right? I mean, you see how the way the crowd reacts to him as well. I did want to ask you guys about Ty Mueller. Had two assists tonight. I know Reach is going to roll his eyes because I love watching this kid play. But
ever since Penticton, man, it's just like, this Ty Mueller guy. He's pretty good.
He might be on to something. But I mean, and listen, I like him. But can you guys find a single person in the organization who doesn't love Ty Mueller? And I think fans and media and everybody's getting a firsthand look as to why he's so beloved organizationally.
Well, I mean, you have a player that, one, he's a great skater. He's got a low center of gravity. He's strong on his feet. But he's able to play in any situation. As a young guy, to be able to get chucked in and force, well, not force, but to play D-zone minutes. But then he can create stuff at the other end. And they're not, you know, they're not assists that are just, you know, I throw it at the net and, you know, Lekkermäki's banging a rebound. Like, that's a guy that understands the situation and understands who his line mates are and using your line mates to their best, what their abilities are. He's able to, on that two-on-one, he gets it. He's got a really good shot himself, but he sees that the defenseman's not quite playing it perfectly. He's got a way to ship it over. He's like, okay, I can take the shot from here, or I'm going to let Lekkermäki take a one-timer from the hash marks. Everyone should be throwing it over to the Lekkermäki for that shot, but again, it's his work ethic, it's his, you know, his battles on the puck. He doesn't cheat the play. As we were talking about Waters before the game, the captain for Abbotsford, he kind of has a bit of him in it. Like, he doesn't cheat anywhere on the ice. And if you're if you're the organization and you're watching a guy like that, he's going to have to find a way to take that next step. Well, one of those ways is, you know, can he be good on the PK? Well, he's showing he can do it here. Can he buy or grab some minutes from people that way? Well, he's got the work ethic. He's willing to put his body on the line. Everything that you could ask of a kid to do, he's doing it every single game.
I mean, he kind of plays like Manny, a 200-foot player. He's got a little more offense than his head coach, I think. But the way he just gets tapped on the shoulder to go in big situations, like if there's a faceoff in the left circle in his own end, he's usually out there taking the draw. He's on the power play. He's on the penalty kill. And just to piggyback what Landon said, if he breaks in the NHL, it's going to be that 200-foot game that gets him there. And will he be a top six forward in the NHL if he gets there one day? Maybe. But he's probably going to have to start in the bottom six, and that he's okay with that. Like, he doesn't care about the points. He had two assists tonight. All he cares about at the end of the night is the 2 points that the team got.
Right.
In the regular season, at least. And he's someone that's going to be a factor on the penalty kill. He's going to lead the team in the fight. He's not going to put up 50 goals or 100 points. But, again, his skill set is underrated. No forward plays more in these playoffs than Ty Mueller. He's a rookie. That says something right there.
Yeah.
And I know for sure this organization is very high on him. And to see him get a look at the NHL level at the end of the regular season, he's just come back down to Abbotsford, and he's just been his normal self. He just, you know what you're getting from Ty on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's been exciting, and Abby Canucks one win away from claiming the Calder Cup trophy. Gentlemen, great stuff on the call. Hopefully, only one more to go, and that's on Saturday. Puck drops at 6, and pregame gets going at 5:30. But Brandon, Landon, great stuff, guys.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having us, boys. We'll see you again on Saturday.
Yeah, can't wait for it, gentlemen. Great stuff as always.
You got to bring the ring again, Landon.
Yeah.
Well, it's
good luck
there
chart.
Now. It's basically glued to the finger. Honestly, I don't know if it's coming off tonight, whether I want to or not.
Yeah. I mean, hey, at least that's a good thing to keep on if you have to keep it on. It's a championship ring, and we'll keep it on for good luck, hopefully. Great stuff. That's Landon and Brandon with the call tonight on Sportsnet 650. A thrilling 3-2 win for the Abbey Canucks over the Charlotte Checkers in the Calder Cup Final. final. As always, get your thoughts in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. More of the Canucks Central postgame show. More of your reaction is next on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
This is Abbotsford Canucks Hockey on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Leonard trying to make a play. It goes back into some skates. Leonard works a free Asplund shot, stopped by Shelovs, and he took it in the chest. And Mueller gobbles a rebound and brings it the other way for Blake. He's got Lekkomäki in front. He's it all alone, and he scores! Jonathan Lekkomäki, his second of the night. Abbotsford 3, Charlotte no score.
It starts with Shelovs making a big save on the one-timer in his end. Moves up the ice. Before you know it, Lekkomäki's on a breakaway off a beautiful feed. Makes a quick move to his forehand off the feed from Blay and forces it 5-hole. Second goal of the game. Takes a 3-0 lead.
3-0 lead. The Abbey Canucks go on to win 3-2. Checkers made it interesting late, but not enough. And Abbey takes a commanding 3-1 series lead in the Calder Cup final. One win away from claiming the trophy and taking home a championship in Abbotsford. And this is the Canucks Central postgame show on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah with Dan Riccio. And as always, get your thoughts in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll-free, 1-888-275-0650. And of course, Reach, in a game like this, after Lekkomäki scored a couple goals, including the game winner, first star of the game, and this text from Demko's Knee Bones, Lekkomäki just flipped the narrative. He is legit. And if one player could change a narrative, it was certainly Lekkomäki tonight. Now, I know narratives can flip really easily, but this was an evening where he reminded everybody, and especially Canucks fans, why he was selected 15 overall a few years ago and why people like yourself believe he can be a big-time goal scorer in the National Hockey League.
It's not unlike me to take a trip down Narrative Street and really enjoy the scenery. And right now, the scenery is that Lekkomäki is back on track to being a sniper for the Vancouver Canucks in the future. Like this never escaped him. You know, it wasn't not there in the games he played at the NHL level. We forget how young this player is, and you know, from where he is and the year that he's had in the AHL, you still look at the totality of the season and say, it's been impressive what Jonathan Lekkomäki has done. And even with a couple of weeks of healthy scratches, if he didn't get back into this series, it wouldn't have mattered to me all that much. I'm still very, very high on the player, but tonight he got an opportunity to show just how special he can be and how he can contribute. And he took every opportunity to do that.
I felt they had to give him another chance in the Calder Cup final. I thought it would have been a real miss organizationally to not give him at least one game to redeem himself in this type of opportunity. I mean, I know the championship matters, but at the end of the day, you're trying to develop players to help the big club down the road. And to me, it would have been foolish to not give him a chance, and he's making the most out of that opportunity getting back into the lineup. Justin Niesfan says, the Canucks are doing a great job of pumping up Lekkomäki's trade value ahead of the draft. But says, I'm just joking. Yeah, I mean, I think he's doing that for himself.
15th overall picks aren't worth all that much these days, apparently.
Well, it depends on which draft. Depends on which draft, right? But again, I mean, I wouldn't get too caught up. That's just jokes or whatever, right? But New West Nick says, you're defined as a player by how you overcome adversity, and Lekkomäki showed maturity and poise of a veteran tonight. That's New West Nick. And I don't disagree. And when you see a player bounce back in this type of game and play with poise, play with confidence, and I thought Landon did a great job breaking down what he saw from him tonight and the fact that he had a couple weeks off and missed a few games what that did to bring the best out of him tonight.
Yeah, there's just a hunger there, you know, and he was good even the other night in Game 3. He didn't end up on the score sheet or anything like that, but, you know, it just looks like a player re-energized from where he was earlier during this in this playoff run. And that's all you could ask for out of Jonathan Lekkomäki. I think, you know, it's kind of a huge boost for the Canucks to have a guy like that coming in off the bench and out of the bullpen when Charlotte is struggling for any kind of an answer, especially on the offensive end of the ice. So really something that the Canucks have had the benefit of here, and the 2 weeks off turns out to be something that has benefited Jonathan Lekromäki.
Yeah, it certainly has.
This text, boys, the team pounds the checkers whenever they can. That has to wear them out. It will pay off later in the series. I mean, it's paying off right now. I think the checkers are feeling every hit, and they're a little bit shell-shocked at how this has turned here in the two games in Abbotsford, but I think it does start with the identity of the physicality, the speed and physicality of this Abbotsford team.
No doubt, and you know, I agree with this text too from Jordan and Maple Ridge on Saturday. The boys need to do exactly what they did tonight. Set the tone early, throw the body, wear them out. They do that, they have a really good chance of ending this series, the final, on Saturday night. And you know, I know we talk a lot about Ty. I talk a lot about Ty Mueller. Gurnur from Surrey says Mueller is baby JT Miller.
Ah.
Baby JT Miller.
You know, Mueller, it's funny. I'm thinking back to when he was drafted. And, you know, we're going to have a draft show next week.
Yeah. It's coming up quick, man.
whether the Canucks have a 15th overall pick or not, we're going to have the first round for you on Canuck Central next Friday. And we're going to have full draft coverage of day two on the Saturday as well. But I remember when Mueller was drafted and people were like, why are they drafting this guy? Why are they drafting these overagers and all this kind of stuff? And, you know, we talked to Todd Harvey and he glowed about Mueller after the draft.
Yeah, especially character wise.
You know, character and hockey IQ and those kinds of things. And it's been a theme of their draft strategy over the last couple of years, really, since Alvin and Rutherford have taken over. And it's hard to deny that there's been a little bit of success there. I mean, he's a really smart hockey player.
And, yeah.
You know, like, yeah, he's not the most talented guy out there. He doesn't have an embarrassment of skill that's going to get him drafted in a first round. But you can see a lot of why he has the characteristics of an NHL player, especially a few years on from his draft year. And it's really been on showcase here in this playoff run.
I'm not sure he's on the verge of being an NHL player, but he continues this track. Like, he's going to be an NHL guy, or at least be a player who's going to get a chance to prove himself at the NHL level, right? And
wouldn't have been a lot of people that expected him to get, you know, games, what, 3 years after his draft year? You know,
no.
It's really impressive. Like, he's already got NHL games under his belt and has been an AHL rookie all-star, which, like, where did this come from? This is a fourth-round draft choice we're talking about.
Well, this text, unsigned, says, do you think we're starting to see some evidence of good drafting, as in later-round picks, some college free agent signings are working out to actually be useful players / interesting prospects? That's a question and comment coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. And, I mean, and look, you mentioned Mueller. Later round draft pick. Kudryavtsev, seventh round draft pick. Max Sasson, we haven't talked about him a lot. Another strong performance. Undrafted player, right?
These are guys by this regime, identified by this regime.
Yeah, Arshdeep Bains, same thing.
Yeah.
We are seeing evidence of it. Obviously, you need more, but we are seeing evidence for an organization that over the course of its 55-year history has been one of the worst, if not the worst, organizations in drafting and development, turning that around.
Yeah.
You know, and we talk about the higher-end guys like Kromäki being a positive, and you know, the two best prospects are perhaps one of them has already graduated.
Yeah.
They're not even here. DPD, I mean, they didn't even paper him down to be able to be part of this race. And he might have been a defenseman one on this team in this postseason. Tom Vilander, incredible upside. Those two guys aren't even playing here. And you look at Lekromäki balancing back, so you feel good about those guys. And, of course, you need more higher-end players, too. Like, the Canucks need, you know, somebody coming down the road to be a number one center, hopefully. And those things have to happen. And if they, you know, had a couple more first-round picks the last couple of years, maybe they would have had one or two of those guys. But this is getting to a point where they have a critical mass of young players, and they had a dozen rookies play games for them this year.
Yeah.
Has it turned around? I'm not sure, but it is turning around. This is the best we've seen their draft and development be as far as mid- to late-round picks go in many, many years. We were talking about this before the show began today. The organization went 20 years, essentially, between third-round picks that played meaningful games for them, Alex Edler and DPD.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's two decades. You know, like, that's what we're talking about here. And now you're seeing a number of these guys in recent years drafted in those spots show some promise. So hopefully, to the texter's point, we're seeing some evidence of it. I hope it sustains.
So three drafts have been driven by the Patrick Alvin, Jim Rutherford regime. Five players have already played games. Hunter Brustevich, obviously, with Calgary, but four for this organization, and Kudryavtsev, DPD, Jonathan Lekkermäki, and Ty Mueller. That's impressive. Plus, you add on Max Sasson as somebody that was undrafted and a signee by this team, Arshdeep Bains. So that's six players you're talking about now that they've identified as young players that they've at least gotten into NHL games, have felt like they've earned NHL games. That is impressive in such a short span of time. Usually we got to take 5 years to really see how that plays out, but we're only talking a three-year time span with this front office. So yes, their identification of talent has been better in the last few years, and I don't think it was, like, they didn't really overhaul the scouting staff. I think it's just a different strategy of what they are really focusing on and what they see as traits that can lead players to having more success at the highest level.
Yeah, absolutely. And something we hope to see more of. And we'll talk throughout. I mean, tomorrow's show is coming up, and there'll be more discussions about what the Canucks are looking to do to improve the hockey team. Are they moving the first-round pick or not? I mean, those are all, you know, factors that could be in play. But if they hold on to the pick, you know, could they add another guy to the fold? You know, do you have another guy to look forward to over the next little while? I did want to read a couple texts here from Tatiana. Says she's coming to the game to watch Game 6, standing room only, single ticket, got to be here for the game. And, you know, we got one from Parksville texting in, too, saying, I'm coming in from Vancouver Island to watch the final. You guys hit the nail on the head. This market is starved for good hockey. Happy the fans are showing up. That's Jesse from Parksville. And, you know, others have had similar sentiments, too. We want the cup chance. I can't say enough about how great the fans have been in this building and the level of intelligence they have, the level of passion that they have, the level of knowledge they have about the team and their players and how they're backing each one of these guys. It's been a great, great atmosphere. And a lot of it is Abbotsford, right? A lot of Abbotsford residents, you know, somebody texted in and said, I'm back home watching, listening to you guys already in bed. Thanks for the great coverage. Excited for the next game coming up. But you get a lot of fans that are coming in from the lower mainland as well. And it just shows you the level of passion Canucks fans have, how great this market in Abbotsford's been, and the overall intelligence that this entire fan base has and the passion it has for its minor league team.
Yeah, they've loved it, man. Like, they cheer on good play. They cheer on big hits. They cheer on big saves. Cheer on good defensive plays. There's just so much about this crowd that has made the experience of being at these Calder Cup final games to that next level. It's taken it to that next level, and it's been a real home ice advantage for this club. So, you know, we'll see what it's going to be like. I'm excited to be here on Saturday night and just kind of feel what it's like to have that buzz in the building and the opportunity to bring home the glory on home ice.
Absolutely. Quinn says, well, fellas, happy to have your post-game show back and in much happier circumstances than down the stretch this season. We've been unreal on home ice. Manny has got the right line combos right now. What a goal by Bains. What a game by Lekkermäki, and another great gutsy team effort with some great goaltending and fan support. Gotta love it. I'm going to game 5. Would be unreal to see a cup-winning game. I think he means game 6 coming up, Quinn. But yes, I mean, that would be incredible.
Some breaking news as one of our texters.
Game five, correct, yes.
NHL-related, Sam Bennett, during some of the Florida Panthers celebrations, has announced he is staying in Florida for 8 more years.
Is that what he said? He's not leaving?
Apparently, he is saying he's staying for 8 more years. So
Matt Duchene, not in the free agent list. It's Ryan Donato, not that I wanted them to sign. He's already off the list as well.
Yeah.
And now Sam Bennett is going to be off the list. Yep. Mitch Marner is going to wait until 2027 to sign with the team. So, are there any good players available in free agency this year?
It is a very shallow free agent pool. The Canucks may not have what it takes to get Marco Rossi from Minnesota, according to today's reports. So, more opportunity for Atu Ratu, Ty Mueller, and some of these Abbotsford Canucks to have a chance at the Canucks big club next year.
We'll see. Now, one thing I will say is, like, I did hear some buzz about, the Canucks still being very aggressive. So they're trying, man. They're trying.
Yeah.
They're trying.
That's the buzz around the rink too, right?
They're really trying.
Yeah.
As much as, like, they know it may not happen, like, but the efforts, like, it's a full court press to try to make the team better.
They are going in as hard as Tristan Nielsen goes in on the forecheck. They are being as aggressive as they possibly
can.
Was that
the biggest hit we've seen in how long?
He blew. I'm not sure which Charlotte player it was,
oh
but
God.
Like that guy's in next week right now. Okay, he's in a different time zone after that hit from Tristan Nielsen.
I think that's why the glass came off a bit later on. Like the glass was knocked loose after that big
Tristan
hit.
Tristan Nielsen is not big, but my goodness, that guy, he just goes in there like a missile. I don't know how many strides he took into that hit, but it felt like 17.
Yeah,
because that Charlotte player still hasn't come down after that hit from Tristan Nielsen.
No doubt. Matt says, got to give love to the fan base for showing out for a winning team. This market is really one of the finest in hockey when there's no distractions. Matt, the flower delivery guy in Surrey. I guess that's the whole distraction thing, right?
Yeah, it is. Phoenix saying, hottest tickets in Canada right now, boys. I don't know if they're the hottest tickets. They're unavailable. There's nothing left for
Canada's
Saturday
team.
Night.
All right, this is Canada's team, BC edition, getting it done, unlike the Alberta edition.
Yeah, might have to have a watch party of some kind somewhere for this. Ryan and Abby, is Jet Wu the next Noah Juulsen? That is from Ryan and Abby. I will say Jet Wu has just developed himself into a really quality organizational defenseman, and it was really impressive, again, watching him here tonight. His defensive game has gotten pretty efficient. And he hits hard. He hit Jesse Puljujärvi pretty hard into the end boards. Puljujärvi was not in love with how bad he got hit by Jet Wu on a couple of occasions.
No, and I thought that's actually a really good, I think, comparison. Noah Juulsen, a guy that ended up – was a obviously not a first-round pick. But
Jet
he was
a second-round
pick,
yeah.
So a pretty high pick. But Juulsen ends up going from being a high, first-round pick with Montreal, ends up in Florida, and then ends up in Vancouver. Takes some time in Vancouver, spends a lot of time in Abbey, and then all of a sudden
– has to come to grips with, like – maybe I'm not going to be like a full-time NHLer, right?
Yeah, and he's carved out a role to be a depth guy. Like, you know, I'm sure wherever he signs, whether it's Vancouver, he'll be in that 7-6 spot, might play some AHL games, but a legitimate guy who's going to play NHL games, right? Can Jet Wu become that type of a player? And maybe that's not enticing as far as like high upside goes, but to turn somebody into a guy that can play games for you does matter. And at least Jet Wu is making some real big steps in that direction. We'll see what happens this offseason. Ultimately, maybe he gets a chance somewhere else in a different organization at some point. But, I've been impressed with what I've seen in these two home games from Jet Wu.
Yeah, and his, his conditioning is not lacking, and that's helping him having success as he kind of enters the prime years of his career.
Yeah, no doubt. You got the testy Albertans texting in too, saying Vancouver's showing it's a really minor league sports team, and at least Alberta team made it to the NHL playoffs. Yeah, listen, the Alberta team made it to the playoffs, and the Alberta team now 2 years in a row did not win the Stanley Cup. And hey, listen, the Calder Cup's not the Stanley Cup, but champions are champions, and they are one win away from being champions. And I'm very excited for the fans here in BC. And it's okay, listen, Alberta, you guys have some nice hockey players, and perhaps you'll get it done in the future. Like, don't be too upset. You can listen to a Vancouver sports show and not be bitter. It's okay. We can have a lot of fun. It's okay. But I get it. You're bitter the Edmonton Oilers lost, or you're listening to AHL teams, yes. And you're being upset about that. So it's all good. I get it. It's all good.
The banter is always good. The banter is always fair.
Great stuff. Capitalist texts in as well and says, the Rossi offer is not enough right now, but doesn't mean it won't be enough closer to the draft. So we'll see what the Canucks do as well when it comes to the trade front. Thanks to everybody listening, texting in. Great stuff as always. Appreciate the passion. A lot of fun. Can't wait to be back here again on Saturday. Puck drops coming up at 6. We'll have pregame coming up at 5:30. But we have a show coming up tomorrow, Reach. It is a Friday edition of Canuck Central, which means we have Mailbag Friday plus Yannick Hansen, and we're looking forward to seeing what else happens in the National Hockey League and perhaps with your Vancouver Canucks looking to improve the roster still.
Yeah, and we'll tee this one up. I think the buyout window opens tomorrow as well in the NHL, so there's going to be a lot to get into on Canuck Central tomorrow.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, thanks everybody for listening. Appreciate you staying with us here tonight. A lot of fun. The Abbey Canucks 3-2 win over the Charlotte Checkers, taking a 3-1 series lead in the Calder Cup Final. Great stuff. I'm Satyar Shah. He is Dan Riccio. Special thanks to Josh Elliott-Wolf and Fast Eddie Gregory and all of you for listening on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Let's get out of here! The Canucks win Game 4!